Right, and we're back in 2014 with another You Can't Say That on the Radio. We've got me, obviously, Kevin. We've got Neil Demme.
Yay.
And V.
Yep. We're here.
Yeah. Less than, well, no, it's actually 24 hours since we did the last one.
Hmm.
Pretty much, yeah.
We'll just be sitting around?
Yeah, sitting around.
Chilling.
Pissed off because shit's fucked up.
Usual. No, it's not massively fucked up.
Fire's
still going.
The fire's still going, the fire's raging. Yeah, so I've just got something up on the interwebs.
Yep.
Apparently, Skype's Twitter account has been hacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Uh-huh. And they're saying don't use Microsoft emails because they're being monitored by the NSA.
What, like everybody that got an Xbox One for Christmas?
Yeah, that's like Skype. They're owned by Microsoft, saying not to use Microsoft.
Yeah.
Apparently, hacked by the Syrian Electronic Army. Yeah, it's a bit interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, still, it's only Twitter, it's not that big of a deal, to be honest.
Hmm. You might want to move slightly closer to the microphone then.
Yeah.
Or I could knock up the gain on it.
That would do. Yep. Now
give me a sound check,
always.
Man.
Yeah, sound check. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. One, two,
well, we
one,
are playing
two.
With a fairly stripped-down music studio.
Yeah. 1212, the roadie's pin number. Pin, not pin number, fuck. That annoys me, sorry.
This is mic number one, isn't this a lot of fun?
Yeah.
From, what do you call it, Spinal Tap?
Oh, I've not seen that.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Have you not seen This Is Spinal Tap?
I don't know, I've not seen Spinal Tap. I know there are absolute...
It's a rockumentary, if you will, about the hardest-working metal band in England.
Uh-huh. I know there are amps to 11.
Yeah. Oh, you got to watch Spinal Tap.
I'll get around to it one of these days. Years, decades.
Mm. So, yeah, there's been a lot of groovy shit this year. I mean, today, Colorado announced that it was legalising weed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For sale in public, you know, to ordinary people, not medical marijuana.
For recreational use.
For getting fucked up.
Yeah. If you're a resident of Colorado, it's up to an ounce, and if you're out of state, don't
so it is Rocky Mountain High in Colorado.
Yeah, and if you're an out of stater, it's up to a quarter ounce.
Yeah, I mean getting it back across the state line might be a bit difficult. Might go a bit Dukes of Hazzard for you.
Maybe, but I don't think
because
really
if you're driving the big VW camper van with psychedelic colours on it, you're driving out of Colorado, and you're driving across straight lines into a state that doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Have recreational marijuana.
Then you're kind of screwed.
And it's going to be, you know, I mean, is it going to, I mean, that's the problem. It's like, at least with booze, they got NASCAR out of running booze all over the place because that's where NASCAR comes from.
All right.
See, if you watch the odd documentary by Billy Ray Cyrus, you'd learn a thing or two.
Because that's been along the edges of Colorado, we're going to start seeing buildings pop up with smoking rooms.
Yeah, well, it's just going to be right across the state line into Colorado. Every road going in there is going to have a cannabis cafe that for members only.
But I don't even think it needs to be members only. You can just walk in off
no,
the street.
No, because you can smoke it in private locations.
Yeah.
So, personal homes.
Yeah.
Not businesses. So it'd have to be clubs.
Yeah. That's
so
true.
That's, you know, you're going to have, like, you know, speakeasies again.
Yeah.
They can remake Bugsy Malone, but with marijuana.
Hmm. Be quite interesting. And apparently, Washington's going to do the same thing.
Everybody
who
is, everybody will soon come through that door at Fat Zack's Grand Slam. Speakeasy. It'd just be brilliant. There'll be all these like hippies with long hair go, psst. It'd be brilliant. And if they manage to hold on to it, then America may well like start saving some serious wedge in this war against drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, serious wedge. I mean, it's something stupid. It's like $100 billion a year.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like 1 in 10 people in American prisons is there for possession of marijuana and shit like that. So, I mean, it's going to save them a fuck ton of money. Because a prisoner per year costs about 20 grand.
Yeah.
Probably more now all the prisons are privatised.
Yeah.
So it's going to save them a fuck ton of money. So I wonder where next. I mean, because, you know...
Well, it's going to be Washington next.
Yeah.
It's
like a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a couple of weeks. It's later on in 2014,
yeah.
Later on this year.
Well, I wonder what will happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're in the Colorado area, good luck to you. Go and buy some weed, like, right now.
Yeah. And if you're not in the Colorado
area, go and buy
area,
legal
go
weed while you can. Because we had cannabis declassified from grade B to grade C.
Yeah.
And a grade C conviction is a bit is the same sort of weight as having like more than 500 paracetamol pills. Mm-hmm. Like if you've got like way too much paracetamol, or you know poppers.
I don't think there was a legal limit on paracetamol.
No, there isn't a legal limit, but it's sort of like certain things like Valium, having Valium without a prescription.
Yeah.
Is a grade C drugs offence.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, you borrowed a Valium off your nan. That's how the police saw it.
Yeah. It really isn't a big deal.
So it's kind of cool, you know, that one, you know, one of the states in America has gone, no, this is silly.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to have hope, haven't you? When a state will go, this is silly. I mean, you probably find that even if they did change federal law and it became legal all over the United States, you can't have too many, you can't have too many sort of like major sort of state laws that are overturned by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's got to be a base level of law. Murder has got to be illegal in every state, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it is. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Some.
I mean, it was only public outcry that reclassified cannabis. And the new drugs are, it was very anti-drug. And it's just like, well, you think something like cannabis, governments should be way pro-cannabis.
Yeah.
Because people who smoke cannabis are like demotivated beyond all words. You know, they're not going to cause trouble, are they? They're not going to go out there and get into fights. They're not going to get into violent crime or anything like that, because it's fucking impossible when you're stoned. It's the absolute limit of your superpowers to be able to order pizza.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's a bit of a hassle giving the change to the guy.
However, what it does do, people tend to come up with ideas and talk about politics and shit when it's there.
Yeah.
They proper get involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, would that be a bad thing? I mean, you know, I could deal with government if it was a lot smaller. I'd still ignore it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would be happier with its existence if it was a bit more dialed back and chilled out.
Oh, yeah, government's got to be small. Small as possible.
I mean, you know, I don't think if there'd been a vote on the war in Iraq with proper projected casualties and shit like that, and the cost figures sorted out, and you'd gone to, knocked on every door in America and said, we're planning on going and doing this for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're going to, in order to demonstrate what that will look like, is we're going to get like 20,000 young men in the local football stadium. And then we're going to slowly remove them due to, you know, they're slowly sort of like lay down when we shout out their numbers. And that'll be the, you know, a good projection of the number of casualties and the number of injured veterans that are going to come back. You know, it's a bad thing. We'd rather not do it. I mean, you know, it's not like the companies that are benefiting from it haven't got so much money they couldn't have sent in mercs.
Yeah.
You know, they could have actually sent in mercenary armies to deal with that if they'd really wanted it done.
They did.
Well, I mean, you can't call standing up. I mean, they did send in lots of operators to safeguard assets that the military couldn't be seen to be looking after.
Yeah.
But the actual thrust, the actual kicking Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait.
Yeah,
the actual, I mean, because the Kuwaitis weren't all that impressed with the people that run Kuwait.
Have you ever retired a human by mistake?
You know, there was a lot of actually individual man in the street Kuwaitis that were thinking, well, you know, it can't be any worse than the lot that's in charge.
Yeah.
I mean, Saddam Hussein was a bad dude. And I would be okay with it if we routinely just invaded countries where bad dudes operate. Bad dude in charge, the American army, with as many people as we can send from the rest of the world, turns up, kicks the shit out of the place, deposes the bad dude, leaves a note to the effect of, if you put another bad dude in power, we'll be back. But this guy was an arsehole.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you had a much more dialed back government that really thought about whether it really needed to go to war with places...
We'd save so much money.
Yeah.
We can decrease taxes.
Well, not just saving money, a few lives and all that
shit. Well,
yeah. And a bit of a more mellow relationship with, you know, people who are our neighbours. You know?
Yeah.
It's like the Jell-O Biafra thing, you know, if we murder their parents, what are the next generation of kids going to think?
Yeah.
You know, when you sort of like bomb the shit out of civilian areas, you're going to kill a lot of civilians and you're going to make a lot of people very, very angry.
Yes.
But the weird thing was, it wasn't actually that necessary. They could have taken out the entirety of Iraq's armour in an evening. Taken out every military plane. None of the civilian planes. You could have with the precision munitions they've got, they could have dropped bombs and shit on individual planes that were military.
Yeah.
They could have read the numbers on the tail fins to say it was a military plane from space, directed the munitions there, and just taken out individual planes. They could have notified Iraq that, you see that oil depot over there that you're using for the military? That's going to be destroyed tonight, so I'd evacuate if I was you. And bomb the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
And go on, every time you start using something for military purposes, we're going to destroy it. And you could have still used it as a sort of like a demo video for the arms industry. But this kind of like mad aggression, you know, blowing the shit out of civilians and destroying the infrastructure where it's not actually necessary. Are you really telling me they had to destroy every bridge in Iraq? They took out every single bridge in Iraq.
For freedom.
For freedom.
For freedom. Freedom.
Well, the only conspiracy... That's the mad thing. The most annoying thing about it is, if it was like the Germans doing it, or the Russians doing it, or the Chinese doing it, you could sort of see it. You know, they kind of like, they're quite big picture people, and they thought, well, it's not really a big hill of beans to us. But yeah, you meet an American, and they're all nice.
Yeah.
I haven't yet met an American that I haven't got on with. Even when I've gone, well, what about your foreign policy, dude? And they're embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. So you've got, like, all these people, and they're all pretty mellow, just trying to get a living. You've got loads of other things America could be doing with that money.
Mars.
Well, no, I mean, you could be employing everybody in America. Well, yeah. You could rejuvenate Detroit. You could rejuvenate New Orleans, which still looks like a war zone.
Yeah.
You could have created power systems out in the deserts. They could have really got like a good cohesive sort of feeling back for politics.
Yeah. US defense budget's insane.
But, you know, it's just depressing because their political system is based on two of the best documents ever written. You know, the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights.
Mm.
And you just think, well, that's amazing. Those are two of the most forward-looking documents ever written in political history, ever. Even Plato's Politics and Plato's Republic didn't quite get there. But, you know, they had a real good stab at, you know, they had a really good start. They had a victorious start. They took out the British. They declared their independence. They had that whole continent to themselves. And just people have been greedy.
Yeah.
On a scale never before seen. And there's only a few of them. A few really careless people out there. There's loads of things in the world that need making. They got some of the most inventive minds in the world. They got enough money to throw at nearly every problem on earth. They've proved that. If they truly decide to do a thing, they can do it. And that's only 4% of the population. It's only 256 million people. That's a country like 20 times the size of the UK of.
Yeah.
Because when they say, oh, Britain's really small, it's
quite
like...
small.
It's about the size of some of the more larger states.
It's the size of Florida.
Yeah, and Florida's a big state.
Yeah.
So, you know, and those states are individual countries. So yeah. The states are about the size of most European countries, really. But they act like Europe's really titchy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Europe's just got more people per kilometre than America.
Mm-hmm.
But where you know, if you have the whole of the UK, it's about the size of Texas.
Is that artificial? I think Texas is actually a bit bigger.
Yeah, but not by much, not by a huge amount. I mean, they make out that Texas is, like, you know, like huge. But if you look at the that's because we look at the Mercator projection.
Yeah.
If you look at an actual map of the world, you know, where the entirety of the United States and Mexico can fit inside the Congo. But Africa never looks as big as it actually is. Africa's fucking vast.
May I ask you a personal question?
Africa's got real sort of like,
sure,
really, really big. Anyway, we didn't want to talk about politics. That wasn't our plan, was it?
No, we were going on to tech.
So, do you want to start off? Cool shit you've seen or purchased or wanted to get this year?
Well, yeah, servers provided. So, on the last Rangers radio show, I said, you know, I found a Kiwi board. And I've got one now.
Mm.
80 quid.
You've also got a rental server somewhere in the world, haven't you, in America?
Oh, I've got, yeah, the VPS, yeah.
You've got a virtual personal server? Or
yeah,
private
virtual,
server.
Virtual private...
Server.
Virtual private server, yes.
Yeah. Which
so
is
like,
pretty cool.
Yeah,
over in America.
Cool. Yeah. In San Francisco, I believe it is.
So, how much does that cost a year?
It's $5 a month.
So what, $60 a year?
Yeah.
It's about 45 quid.
Yeah. And I have a machine that's got 20 gig hard disk space.
Yeah.
Gig of RAM. And, you know, enough processing power to, you know, basically do what you need to.
So what are you using it for?
Website.
All right.
Pretty much. Website and
And the website is called?
It's kevinasgeek.org.
There you go. So you've got your own fucking radio show.
Yeah, true. I suppose.
You do some interesting shit.
I talk about the taco with a shape mostly.
Well, you built that battery box thing.
Oh, well, yeah, true. I did back build that.
You've been playing with the Raspberry Pi?
Not really so much with the Raspberry Pi. Honestly, the Raspberry Pi is a bit shit. You know, say that now, it is a bit shit. I mean, it's good as a dev board. If you're trying to use it as a computer, not so much. It's just slow.
Well, yeah.
Like, really slow.
Well, what happens if you run the Raspberry Pi operating system? Have you used that?
Raspbian.
Yeah.
I've not bothered with Raspbian.
Like, something really simple.
Well, I use Arch.
Yeah, but if you use one of the ones that was actually created for the Pi.
No, the Arch disk was created for the Pi.
But it was from Arch.
Yeah.
You know, if you use the actual Debian.
Which is created from Debian. It's just a Debian ARM port. That's all.
So there isn't a purely dedicated Linux operating system for the Pi. It's all just ports.
It's basically all just ports. It's all the same code at the end of the day.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, it's the whole point of the distributions. They all run the same upstream code. Well, most of them do. Some of them tweak the code a wee bit.
I do want to get one. I just want to get one to sort of like play with it.
Yeah.
And get it to sit. And I'd like one, like an expansion board that would like let it talk to an Arduino or something like that.
Oh, yeah, there's one of them out there. There's actually a Kickstarter board for it. Like it's whole, like, turns into a bit of a mini ITX machine. The motherboard has got a built-in Arduino with a pin header and all that kind of thing on it.
So you could use it to actually control stuff.
Yeah.
So, that'd be interesting. Yeah. All running out of a Raspberry Pi.
You can run XBMC on it. I wouldn't try to do... I think bottleneck comes down to its USB.
USB networking.
USB networking and the fact that any storage you have on it has to be USB as well.
Yeah, it's going to slow everything right now.
Yeah, it's...
Which is where the Cuban board really kicks in.
Yeah, the Cuban board, it really kicks in.
You haven't got one yet,
have you? I have.
You have?
Yeah, I've
Did
got
you
it.
Bring it?
No, I didn't bring it with me. It's running the torrent just now.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Kind of stress testing at the moment.
Cool.
Yeah.
I left that for morning.
Yeah, you should have done.
Any other tech you've seen this year that you thought fucking cool?
There was that thing that popped up on Hackaday. It's a walking 3D printer.
Oh yeah, to print really long shit.
Yeah. Like, basically it's a hot glue gun on legs.
Yeah.
As far as I can see. As far as I can tell from the words, I didn't get any pictures or anything like that.
This year saw the availability in places like Macy's and Maplin's. Macy's in America and Maplin's. For buying an over-the-counter actual... appliance type 3D printer.
Yeah.
Like they're not just like a bag of parts that you assemble yourself, it's actually a consumer product.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's not like, it's a consumer product if you send off to Kickstarter, it's a consumer product and we'll build you one, it'll take 5 weeks to turn up. It's walk in and buy something.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
That 3D printing is so mainstream. Clicker's been reporting on it, but they were very scathing about it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think the problem with 3D printing is there is no means of printing, say, a ferrous metal part, something that will conduct.
Not yet.
Well, there's that Shapeways place. You send them a design file and they'll make it from various materials.
Mm.
It's not.
That's not the same as a 3D printer on your desktop.
No, it's not.
So I think it'll all change the moment you can, say, print a thing with a built-in circuit board. Because you could build the circuit board into the lump of plastic because you're printing it in 3D.
You'd have to assemble the circuit board first and whatnot.
No. As you build up, if you've got like a conductive head and a non-conductive head, yeah, you can build the circuit board several layers deep into the casing of whatever it is you're printing in the non-conductive. Well, no, you could actually sort of like have like round circles with little divots for them to drop into.
Next item comes up.
It seems you feel our work is not a benefit.
If you printed it, if you made sure that it left a hole and
perhaps
a circle of conductive material around it, and down the tube, which you could in all the little layers,
yeah,
thousands and thousands of layers all built up, and you have a conductive hole, like a cylinder of conductive material built into the casing of the product, and then you slot your LED in.
Have you ever retired a human?
Or you slot your resistor in the right place because you've designed the circuit.
Yeah.
You'd actually be able to make the whole circuit board, but the circuit board could be like a centimetre thick. and printed in like a durable resin.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't ever break the circuit board. And all the parts that you put in are easily replaceable because they're just sitting in posts. You push them in, they're done.
Mm.
I mean, even things like batteries. You can print two terminals and have a battery with two little wires coming off it and plug it into the terminal.
Yeah.
With a drawing pin if you must, to get it to conduct. Or a picture framing pin.
I'm just thinking about more surface mount stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the surface mount stuff is more difficult. I'm talking about traditional size electronics.
All right.
You know, because it's you can pick them up.
Yeah.
I mean, surface mount shit's so tiny. I'm not saying you'll be able to build, like, you know, a DVD player.
Yeah.
I'm saying you could build, like, a radio or a circuit that did something, or an amplifier, things that can use solid-state electronics. And it would, one thing, it would save the solid-state electronic industry, because you could just download the circuit board and then order the pack of bits that plug into it. Because individual components are like 20p each.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the next thing that's got to come along. But, I mean, eventually you might be able to do something like print a battery. Because it's all one material with an insulator around it. You could print the battery, a rechargeable battery, into the fabric of the thing that you just built.
Yeah. Be a bit of a bastard when the battery eventually goes flat.
Yeah, but I mean, the idea is that by printing it yourself, it's only costing like 20, like a few quid to make.
Yeah,
true. Maybe a
printer that's
not attracting something quite well. Yeah, oh yeah. Right now, they're already working on conductor 910 for what the ball point.
Yeah, because you've helped kickstart that.
Yeah, I've got about a money under the kickstarter for a thing called Surface Glide.
Yeah, I saw that on Boing Boing.
Yeah.
Well, that looks really interesting. Magnetic ink that conducts electricity that you can clip components to on a sheet of paper if you want.
Yeah, you get a pen, so you need other magnets and a few different components for a building top.
It looked kind of like, you know, those childish electronic sketches you get.
Yeah, I've got one of them. Hey, I've got one of them. I know the things I know about electronics I got from the little book that goes with that and making things on that.
Yeah.
They're mint.
But you've got to start somewhere.
Well, this is true.
Well, it's like the kit was £1.50 at the charity shop. Yeah. All the components are connected to the board.
Yeah, you just have to.
It comes with a book, and you just connect them up with wires.
Yeah.
Well, it teaches about resistance, about sort of various circuit patterns and stuff like that. Now you plan a circuit out.
Yeah, I tried building a radio from one, and it didn't work.
Mine did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there again, I'd already built a what do you call it radio? Crystal set.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew what I was doing. I plugged that into my amplifier. I didn't get very many stations and nothing I'd want to listen to. I couldn't get Radio 4 on the fucking thing. But, you know, yeah, I plugged it into my amp and I could hear it. No, they're wicked then.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that are just springs, and if you lose the wires, you've only got to go and find some other wire.
Yes.
You can't lose the components because they're force mounted onto a little board.
Yeah.
Mint.
That was the one. I had 150 watts.
Oh, I think I had like a 40 in one. My one was dead cheap, but it was only a quid 50. I thought, oh, fuck it, yeah. I mean, the value of the components on the board that you get is about 30 quid.
If you went
to Maplin's to buy them.
If you went to Maplin's?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want the Maplin's.
Yeah, but if you only want a component, one of them, or one or two of them, and you're there, it's easier. But the markup is massive.
Yeah, well, that's what you just go on eBay and get a pack of 10. And yeah.
I like the Makey Makey though. I know it's a completely pointless thing. All it is a USB keyboard with different connectors. It's a little USB board in some cases, but you can also connect it to an Arduino, and it's just a series of switches.
Right.
So you can make like easy switches to run simple programs.
All right, okay.
And the programming language is very simple for it. So if switch does this, then do that.
Yeah.
Either play a sound or perform an action. It's all highly prescribed, but it's interesting that it's still sort of coding and electronic thrown together.
Can you use it as a direct interface for a keyboard?
Yeah.
So you can have a Makey Makey and you can hook up a big red button and it's a big quote and press enter.
Yeah, it's like that. So it's very simple.
Yeah.
You're very faint.
I'm very faint.
Yeah.
I'm not facing a microphone. It's okay.
So you see the little wave pattern?
Yeah.
That's me.
I'm trying not to slouch and sit down away from the microphone then.
Yeah.
You need to speak louder. Like that.
Well, I can pop up the gain a little bit more.
loud noises.
And it's closer.
Doesn't help that the microphone's kind of pointing up that way, not in either of us' faces.
Well, yeah. But there again, my microphone is held onto the mic stand by duct tape and baling wire.
Yeah.
Literally. It is baling wire, it is duct tape.
Yeah. Didn't you have another microphone? A nice fancier one.
This is one, the fancy one.
I thought you had one that had, you know, the rubber band mounted thing.
That is the one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where's the cage thing for it then?
I deemed it unnecessary and it's a real pain in the arse.
Well, fair enough.
And one of the shock cord bits has gone. I meant to replace it, but I was booking up the studio and I thought,
Fuck it.
I really can't be bothered.
Fair enough.
I'd rather build a new mic connector and have it work.
Yeah. Duct tape.
That's the way we roll.
Yeah.
I fixed the tabletop. I fixed the lid of this chest with duct tape. I had a duct tape moment yesterday. You know, it's all the clips that are holding all the wires in. Duct tape.
Yeah.
Duct tape.
Yeah. If anybody out there knows, duct tape, as in quack, and then duct, as in channel for things, tape.
Which is it?
Answers on a postcard, please.
Or we could just say gaffer tape.
Gaffer tape.
Would Americans understand that if we said gaffer tape?
I think probably they would. Not. Because gaffer is one of those things that people have on movie sets, like grips.
Yeah, true.
They have a gaffer and a best boy.
Yeah.
That's probably where it
and
came
as far
from.
As I understand, you've got like electricians, and you've got cameramen, and you've got sound technicians, mm-hmm. and you've got those. They have their own assistants that plug in all their shit. Mm-hmm. So the gaffer literally is just keeping cables out of the way and stuff like that, making sure lights are secure and all that sort of thing, because you have lighting engineers, but the gaffer is they'd be the guys that were taping down microphone cables.
Yeah.
And they're like in overall charge of how the set is laid out, you know, as far as electrical shit and making sure all the equipment is there so the director can say action.
Yeah.
So yeah, they probably get gaffer.
It's the tape used by gaffers,
I would imagine. It would have been,
because
you can hold down a big thick microphone cable with it onto the floor and it won't move.
Yeah.
And it'd be very difficult to trip over.
At least for a while.
Yeah. But it only needs to be set up for the one set up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you can easily remove it. So I'd imagine gaffers do use it. Again, answers on a postcard, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, what other interesting tech you've seen this year, Denny?
Racking away,
and
you'll have to come back to me on that one.
I got shown something called the Earl tablet, and I don't mind advertising it because it's another one of those startup companies, a Kickstarter company called meetearl.com.
That's a different idea.
What?
I have pseudo internet now, just now.
Yeah.
We'll have a look at it.
The Earl is essentially, it looks a little bit like a Kindle Touch, but it's got a flexible e-ink screen, a solar panel on the back, it runs Android, it comes with built-in maps for the continent where you live when you buy it. It's a PMR two-way radio, and it's got a software tunable radio, and it's got all the usual things. It's got Wi-Fi, it's got Bluetooth, it's got a barometer and an anemometer, so you can actually see the wind speed where you are. It's got weather predictive software, depending on what data you're picking up. It's got GPS. It's basically like a really, really toughened Android phone that charges up from the solar panel built into it. Plus all this mapping shit. It is expensive, because I reckon it'll be about £250 when it comes out in Europe, and they're becoming available in March. But it looks really cool. It looks like exactly, if you go wild camping, you go outdoors a lot, it looks like the thing to fucking have. Mm-hmm. Because not only have you got all these sort of like maps and all the GPS tracking software, you've got the radio and all this sort of safety shit, but you've also essentially got an Android tablet with a black and white e-ink screen.
Yeah.
So it's going to be no good for watching YouTube videos, but it will play music. It will install applications that are going to work with it. It's got a touch screen.
Mm. Hopefully the version of Android is actually a decent one.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know.
Not just something locked down, weirdly proprietary.
No, I think the guy that's sort of invented it, designed it, and made it happen is aware that if he, you know, people are going to want to tweak it when they get it.
Yeah.
He's not that interested in building a giant corporation out of it. I think that cut into his skin, son.
It sounds like the sort of thing if they were to build it, the only thing you really want locked down in it is the code to possibly work with a few custom bits of hardware.
No reason that should be open.
It should be open, but it might be sort of locked down in the sense that you can't readily modify it and die. You have to unlock it in some way.
Yeah.
Kind of jailbreak it so that you can access those specific bits, just because they might be regarded as, say, core functionality.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like an Android tablet. It's going to have built-in software and shit. We'll have to see. I know someone that's getting one. I'm sure they'll let us play with it.
No, it's an Android 4.1.
Yeah.
Not bad. Hopefully it can be upgraded. Oh, I remember that picture. Yeah.
What?
The weather thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks like a cool thing.
Yeah.
And ShoeGrew came about this year.
Last year, technically.
Well, last year.
Yeah.
In the last year, ShoeGrew has come into being and is now a profitable company, doing well.
Replicants are like any other machine. They're either a benefit.
I'd like to try it out, but I don't have anything to try it on yet.
Yeah, I've got a pouch of it, but I fixed the thing I was going to use ShoeGrew on with other things.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm bound to need it at some point. The only downside is it does go off. In the packet.
Ooh.
You got like a year.
Ooh, that's interesting.
What?
The URL is IP67 rated.
What does that mean?
Water and dust and shock proof.
Yeah, well, it's going to be outside.
Yeah.
It's designed to be outside. It's designed to be hassled and knocked around.
Full submersion in 3 feet of water for 30 minutes.
Yeah. You can properly drop the fucking thing.
Yeah. You drop it in a river.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't go downstream, you're alright.
Yeah.
That could actually be worth buying.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
It does look like a groovy thing.
Yeah.
But I'll get to use one, you know, March, April time. So keep them peeled, because we'll be coming back to that. But I've got a sneaky suspicion it might be the gadget we all want this year.
I'm just still sceptical about tablets. I really don't see the purpose of them. But it could be the killer thing.
The solar panel only takes 5 hours to charge it up for 20 hours of use.
Yeah.
That's in itself. To have a book reader, even if all you could do on it was read books, that would charge up in that kind of time, would be worth it for me. But the fact that it does all the other Android stuff.
Why they don't have a Kindle at this stage that does solar charging is ridiculous. I mean, they've got a Kindle Fire that plays videos and all that sort of shit. Why don't they have a Kindle Solar that only
Because the
does?
Number of people that are going to be away from electricity is very low.
Yeah.
No matter where you are in the world, the sort of numbers of people that are going to be capable of using it is quite low.
Also, the Kindle tends to run for a good amount of time anyway.
Yeah, the Kindle's got a pretty effective battery. That's the thing about e-ink screens.
A month.
Well, a month at a couple of hours a day usage.
Yeah. With no Wi-Fi on.
Oh, everything you use on any kind of tablet is, you know, any radio transmission of any kind is going to use up power. Yeah, and I bet the L's going to be no different.
Yeah.
But it has got some interesting, cool stuff on it. The fact that it's a PMR radio as well. So if you've got a bunch of people with L's, they can actually keep in contact.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. And that because the radio transmitter and receiver is tunable by software, you could probably get other, you know, you could turn it into a UHF marine radio if you wanted to. You just download the patch for the radio.
Yeah.
So you can have international marine radio. Well, yeah, fair enough. It's not going to punch out very far. But if you found it in your, you know, in your pack. So in your go bag. Because, I mean, sailors spend a lot of money on their scramble bags. Because it contains things like a pair of binoculars. It contains good survival kit.
Yeah.
The grab bag always contains sort of like, you know, flares and expensive stuff like food rations and water and stuff like that. So, you know, to have one of those, and for sailing bods, £250 isn't a lot of money for a piece of survival equipment. It isn't. It just isn't a lot of money. So you've got a PMR tunable radio that you can actually send out distress signals with a built-in GPS to say where you are.
Ooh, it does EPUB and MOBI.
Yeah.
How many e-readers do that?
Well, it's not really an e-reader, is it?
Yeah, true. I don't think I can consider anything with an e-ink screen to be an e-reader. It's
yeah.
genre.
I mean, it would have, like, an LCD screen, but it would drain the power so fast.
Yeah.
You'll get like 2 hours out of it.
Yeah.
And it's no good to you while you're out there.
I've just never seen.
Oh, and that. It's got a torch.
Always gonna have a torch. You've got to just stick an LED in there somewhere.
Yeah, but it's got like a nice backlight that you can light up. So you can be. For wild camping, I think it'll be the thing.
Yeah.
Leave it out in the sun, you know, with the solar panel pointing up while you're doing stuff during the day. Strapped to the top of your backpack because it can be joggled, it can be dropped, it can get rained on. You know, it's rain and dust and shitproof. So you can leave it stacked up there on the top of your rucksack while you're hiking around, and then in the evening, and when you need it, you've got a PMR radio, you've got a GPS system, you've got mapping, you've got weather, mm-hmm. you've got all the things that are normally built into an Android phone. You know, if even if you just know that the pressure's just dropped when you're out, at sea or on land, even if you see the pressure drop so many millibars, you know it's probably going to rain. Or if it raises, you know that the rain might well stop soon.
Yeah.
Because high pressure means no rain, and low pressure means rain.
Yeah.
Hence the whole seaweed thing. Yeah. And the little weatherman and all that sort of shit, the little sort of barometer type boxes they used to get. But I think it's got a temperature gauge as well, so you can tell, you know, pay attention to stuff. It's well provided with sensors. I think the only thing it doesn't have that a mobile sort of like tablet would have, it doesn't have a camera. But it may well be the Mark II will have a camera. But you've only got a black and white e-ink screen, but you'll be able to use that as a viewfinder. It's not a complicated piece of equipment to put a camera on something.
Have you ever spoken about that real thing? PMR
radio, this year I got my PMR radios.
Yeah.
Not PMR radios, they're ham radios.
Yeah.
The cheapest ever. If you want to learn how to use a ham radio, the very cheapest way to do it is to buy a Baofeng handset. 2 meters 70 centimeters.
UV5R, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baofeng UV5R, nice piece of kit, well worth having. And about as cheap as a good PMR. Like if you went to get a Motorola PMR radio, it'd cost you about £40.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is like less than 30. You can get a nicer aerial for it, throat mic, extended batteries, loads of stuff and accessories to fit it. And they're alright, you can tune them to like any frequency in the 2 metres or 7. That's VHF and UHF. UHF is 70 centimetres and VHF is
2 metres,
I think. Could be wrong.
Yeah, no, you're wrong.
I think it's the lower frequencies that have the longer wavelengths.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no,
yeah,
and I've used that. I've used it to listen in on marine chatter when I was sailing. I've used it to keep in touch with people when we went camping in Scotland. The batteries, if you're using it sensibly and you're using it when you need to use it as a walkie-talkie, you'll get all week out of it.
Yeah,
it's got a built-in FM radio, which sounds like a stupid like thing that Chinese devices always have, a built-in FM radio. You buy an MP3 player, it's got a radio in it. And we're phasing out FM transmissions in this country over time. Won't be for a few decades yet. Because all the cars in the country have got FM radios. And none of the sort of major players in commercial radio want to give up the FM frequencies. So you've got quite a long time to use FM radio in this country. And in America, they're not planning on putting digital out anytime soon.
Really?
No. Not even close. Too much is on FM. There's too much infrastructure for FM kicking around. You'd have to, every radio station would have to totally change.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how many, you know, even small towns have two radio stations.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so an FM radio, quite fucking handy, especially if you're wild camping on your own. Switch it to Radio 4, chill out.
Yeah.
And it will last for a long time if you're using the headset instead of the speaker. It's when you use the speaker, you'll get about a day out of it as a radio. Because the speaker requires so much power.
Does it charge off USB?
No.
No.
Yeah, that's the only downside. It charges off its own proprietary charging cradle.
That won't be too hard to replicate.
No, I mean, I think it charges at 5 volt.
Yeah.
So you could build it like a computer plug-in jobby, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Imagine you can pass one over to me.
They're not here.
Yeah, they are.
Are they?
Yeah. I just want to have a wee look, see.
But yeah, those are quite good as far as bits of electronics kit I've bought.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's a piece of piss. Positive, negative temperature. That's it.
Yeah.
Big ass contacts on the back.
Yeah.
That is literally a standard battery charger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got two. Because I bought two of the radios. Because there's no point in buying just one, because nobody else I know apart from Graffin has got one.
Yeah.
It was Graffin that showed me them. And we played with them, and I thought, no, that's a really good bit of kit. And then I found it for less than Graffin had paid.
Okay.
So I bought them. From a UK supplier, no less.
Well, you as if you had to wait for China.
Yeah. Oh, they're totally worth it. I mean, for the reasons that I got into amateur radio in the first place. It's a communications infrastructure that doesn't require someone else to sort of set up any power lines or anything like that.
Lithium ion.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 7.4 volts it needs.
Yeah.
1.8 amp hour. A bit of current.
Well, it's a radio.
Yeah.
It needs a certain amount of power to it. It pushes out like 5 watts.
Yeah.
Which is 10 times the amount that a PMR pushes out.
It's only got 2 contacts on the radio side.
Yeah. Probably one of them's there.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Positive, negative,
Earth. Yeah, the temperature zone.
Negative is Earth.
Yeah.
Temperature contact zone, it makes it look bad. It doesn't really want to charge it.
Yeah.
Just a thermocouple and it makes it look like it.
Yeah. Make sure it doesn't go bang.
It take a few hours to charge up and you've got the battery, but you can get bigger batteries for them.
Yeah,
you can get a, that's a 1.8 amp.
yeah,
and you can get a 3.6. they're like twice the battery power. But yeah, and I got myself a couple of whip aerials for them, so you've got like better aerials on them than you get. That's about it. And I thought, yeah, I'll have some of them. Mm-hmm. Well, I like PMRs because you don't need a license. You kind of need a license for one of these, but your chances of being hunted down are like negligible,
yeah,
isn't it? Unless you're a pillock and you try and put music or a radio station out through, you know, your particular frequency.
4 or 5 years.
For long time.
Does it transmit on FM?
I don't think it does. Because the frequencies that you've got are the allowable frequencies within those bands. So FM actually, for the frequency modulation band, actually has like protected status. But if you add an all band radio, you can transmit on the FM frequency. Or if you just get yourself an FM transmitter. I quite want one of them.
Yeah.
Imagine if everything went completely down and you've got your little community sorted out, and you know, you just think, right, well, why don't we have a radio station, something that's varied, that's, you know, going to be part of the community. You could go and get like a whole bunch of those little scan radios from the pound shop, get about 20 of them, you know, try and find ones that have got like AA batteries really, or triple A's, something you can recharge, and then just have your own FM transmitter. And if you meet anybody that's within a couple of miles of you and they're living happily where they are, just give them a radio that still works. Tell them what the frequency is.
Yeah.
Tell, you know, you've got your media infrastructure back immediately. What other tech have we seen? What's new and groovy?
New and interesting. Well, there's that MPPT charge controller I've got.
What for your battery box?
For the battery box, yeah.
Yeah. Not necessarily stuff that you own, but stuff that you've seen and thought, nah, that's a bloody good idea.
Yeah, well, I haven't really seen anything like that, to be honest.
Oh, Sugru, that's good.
Yeah, Sugru is good.
Bingy Scribe.
Oh, we already talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying to think. Oh, no, I've seen more things than that where I thought, that's bloody handy.
Yeah.
Flick through the Henny Haynes manual and see if there's anything interesting in it.
Well, there is a couple of interesting things in there.
That's kind of gear, isn't it? It's not really tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do have that 4,500 lumen torch.
Yeah. Why, I don't know. So you can go blind in the dark.
Yeah. And pay £700 for the privilege.
Mm.
And I bet only lasts for an hour. So that's like what? That's like daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why? I don't understand.
Have a torch,
I properly don't understand why you need like a mega bright torch if you're going out in the woods.
Scare lab rabbits.
Just don't fucking. I can understand like lamping lamps.
Yeah.
I get that, but a torch. Because if your torch is so astonishingly bright, let's back down from the brightest torch. Let's come back down to like some of the torches that are available.
people like Phoenix and stuff like that, and there's a whole bunch of really, you know,
my one
sort of mega bright torches.
That's called Cree torch.
Yeah, my one was a fire.
It's on the panel. It's got a Cree R5 LED in it.
Yeah, that's cool. But do you want it?
Fucking
bright. It's like if you're in the woods and it's really dark,
yeah,
and you turn that on, all you can see is what is in the cone,
yeah,
of light. Whereas if you had a slightly dimmer torch, you'd get a wider area. You can floodlight somewhere with a lot less lumens.
Yeah.
And if you know, what are you planning to do at night that requires so much precision? Are you going to be assembling circuit boards out in the woods?
No, I just like to be able to see where I'm going.
Well, yeah, so do I, but you don't need that much light. It's just my opinion. What I'm saying is I genuinely don't understand. But I'm asking you.
Well, I'm slightly clumsy at night.
Yeah, so well, me too. I'm clumsy all the fucking time. I don't think there's a metal piece of my kit that doesn't have a fucking dent in it. Or a rip, or a tear, or a break. I've had to repair it.
Fall off a cliff.
Well, you know, you don't need, you know, you'd probably be less likely to fall off a cliff if you weren't blind outside the little cone of light that you've got. They'd like, you know, 150 lumens torch. It's still light, you know, enough for you to go for a pee.
Yeah, I think that's what this one be. I don't know how much this one is. It's not a massive amount.
Yeah.
It's definitely
it's just
bright.
Just a thing. I just don't get it. Because I, you know, I like to have a little bit of night vision when I come back to bed. I don't need to turn on the torch for everything I'm going to do. So I don't like sort of like blaze. So one of the best sort of like head torches I've ever got was like $2.99 or something like that, and it was just bright enough for me to actually see what I was doing all around the camp in pitch black.
Yeah.
But not so bright, it absolutely fucked up night vision. I mean, any torch when you turn it on, if you look directly into the beam when you've been used to dark, it's going to feel like, you know, metal pouring into your eyes.
Yeah, you get that.
It's sort of like real painful sort of like thing until your night vision. Yeah. So I would consider it only gets worse if you have a really bright torch.
Yes, I use this for my work. I need it.
Well, because you're going to have to read labels and stuff, but you don't need like a 500 lumens torch or whatever that is.
Sometimes you do. I'm trying to find the bloody house names.
Yeah.
In the dark.
You've got to like
pissing out with rain.
But, you know, you've got a specific use for it then.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you know, for most people I meet are using a torch for going camping.
Mm-hmm.
And these are like hugely bright torches. I mean, mine sort of like, you know, puts a circle about 50 metres out.
Yeah.
And it's a clear, well-defined circle of light, but it's still fairly bright either side of that. Because it's not so bright. I think it's like 550 lumens. And that's about the edge of what I'd want.
Yeah.
Still read a book by it. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
Again.
It's given me thought for a bit of a rant, though. Well, not a rant, maybe an idea.
Like what?
Some sort of article on head torches. The infinitely useful torch. Because it leaves your hands.
Well, yeah. But head torches are like, you know, the crack cocaine of camping equipment. They're sort of kind of like, they start off at like a couple of quid and go all the way up to like 75, 80, 100 quid.
Yeah.
And it's just
like
no. The number of times I'll actually use a hedge torch is so low. But I've got one in my pack. It's got a couple of AAA batteries in it. I think it was only a couple of quid. It might even have been a pound shop one.
Mine all the time. I keep it on the desk.
That annoying thing, you know, when we had the first Ranger meet years and years and years ago, and I made that little side strap for my mag light, and everybody took the piss, and you can buy them now.
Yeah.
A low power mag light with a strip of elastic and some elastic sort of like things to go around the headband to hold the torch in place costs you about 50p to make it, and you're done.
It is a bit of a faff to get set up though.
What?
Just have to put everything on your head and whatnot, make sure it's pointed in the right direction, switching it
on. The same as you will have to do with a head torch.
Yeah.
Or you could even go, it doesn't have to be a mag light, because you can have an end push button on a really cheap pound shop type mag light. Or, you know, you can just buy a long, thin sort of pen torch that will turn on with a click at the back of back of the torch.
What about making the look for the torch elastic as well, so you can put different torches on?
Why would you want to?
You might have more than one size of torch.
Well, if you're going to do some really technical shit,
cheap.
I'd say get £2 shop mag lights, put them either side of your head.
And then you know. Look like from the folks from Orbital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll do the job.
Well, that's why I use a head torch.
You just don't need that much illumination in the woods, ever.
Yeah, I'd say.
And you're basically saying, I'm here, yeah. To everybody for about 3 miles in any direction.
Yeah. Signal aircraft. But.
Yeah. Get arrested. So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I've never needed that much. I mean, I don't like, you know, if people are camping with me, I don't like waking them up by turning on a mega bright torch.
Yeah.
I mean, I've sometimes even used, like, a little red LED torch to find my way around, because it preserves your night vision, which is, you know, fairly important. But, yeah, that might be it for tech. I'm sure other things got invented this year that we thought, ooh.
Just not
we just can't think of them. Yeah. If we'd been doing the whole Rangers radio thing like we should have been doing for the whole year,
yeah,
it'd have been fine.
Yeah, but we've been lazy.
Mm.
Sue us.
Yeah. What did you make? So you've got your finger on the pulse. Has anybody else in the Ranger community been producing stuff well in the last year? I know Iron Angel has.
He's been doing Rangers A to Z off and on.
Mm.
He's been doing some parts.
And Harlequin's done a few bits.
Not really.
Well, you've uploaded some video.
Oh, yeah, I've done a couple of video clips.
So we need to be ramping it up.
Yeah, we do. We need to get it ramped up.
Guys, tell you this, within 7 days there'll be a new episode of Rangers Radio up.
Cool.
Because everything's now set up now, all I've got to do is the running order.
Yeah.
Because it was just a major faff. I did not have the space to set it up. It's only in the last couple of weeks that's even been possible. Because I've been working.
Yeah.
Much to my annoyance.
Yeah, I know. It sucks, doesn't it?
Mm.
Being an adult. Having to work for a living. Instead of just getting money handed out to you.
Yeah, but I've got fuck all in the way of overheads.
Yeah, this is true. Bugger all outgoings. Makes for an easy
life. Coal isn't going to buy itself.
What?
So that coal isn't going to buy itself.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we need some more coal in the fire.
Really?
Yeah.
It's quite bright.
Yeah.
It's because it's empty.
I'll do it, it's alright.
Alright, fair enough.
No, I don't want to watch you do it.
Okay.
That'll be painful.
Fire might go out.
Yeah, probably. You are cursed when it comes to fire.
I am. It's sad but true. Cursed by a gypsy as a child.
Must have been. Lucky there isn't any smoke in here. It's a miserable day outside, mate. That's why we haven't done anything.
Yeah, it's just generally pish.
That worst kind of winter weather. It was rainy and drizzly. We couldn't go out to play, we're pissed off.
It's dreich.
Dreich.
Dreich. I
wonder how many words the Scottish have for different types of rain.
Oh, no, dreich is a sort of a conglomeration of different things. It's dreich if it's cold. The rain's coming down, it's coming down at more of an angle. It's windy.
I'm going to turn down the gain on these because we've got quite a tinny sound quality going on.
Oh well. And the other thing that makes something brief is the fog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even just, you know, the dense Scotch mist that you get. It just soaks you just as you walk through it. It's not necessarily raining, it's just like you're walking into a cloud. Thankfully, we've not really had that.
Yeah. We've got a real failure in the sound here.
Oh dear.
Have you farted again, Kevin?
Not recently. Or maybe I've taken that amount of time to migrate across.
Give me a sound check.
Sound check. Blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Sound check. I can't say sound check properly. Blah, blah, blah. 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 Blah, blah. Yeah, this isn't going to get cut out, is it?
Well, no, it's quite echoey. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's a factor of the microphones or anything like that. Just trying to play with the gain so it doesn't sound so echoey. So apologies for the sound quality. We are still getting used to it all.
Yeah.
And it might even just be like a really shitty connection on my headphones.
It could just be that the sounds get picked up by both the microphones.
Yeah.
The gain's a bit high and it's getting picked up with two of them.
Yeah. And there's a slight delay on it due to all the processing and the mixer board. Maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So it's a little bit echoey.
Yeah.
So apologies for sound quality, because it'll normally be a bit more like this. A very smooth, silky sounds with less gain on the microphones. So it should eventually sound more like this.
Not professional.
No, no, nowhere near professional. Don't ask for that. It's not going to happen. But we are just getting, like, even the shittiest sound quality and stuff like that. Normally, everybody will be closer to the microphones.
Ideally, we need, like, three microphones.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's a minor miracle that we've got two microphones on stands.
Yeah.
I only have two microphone stands. Because I've never needed more.
Yeah.
I get accused of having too much crap anyway. And the whole mixing desk and the computer equipment was considered by many to be part of my crap.
Yeah.
You know, I've faced loads of aggravation over the last couple of years about you should get rid of your all your shite. But whenever I look at all my shite, I need it to repair something or to fix something or to do something with. So be grateful that I didn't go all minimal, because I wouldn't. That would have been it for any production of Rangers Media. We got a little bit of a studio for Army of One. That should be coming this year.
Yeah. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned the torrent thing earlier on. I was running on the QB board.
What torrent were you running?
Yeah, well, it was our torrent, Rangers, everything.
All right.
Made.
So it's available as a torrent now?
It is. It's not uploaded anywhere publicly yet.
Right.
Kind of somewhat beta testing.
Alright, so that'll be fairly interesting at some point.
See, my idea is,
would anybody actually want to torrent everything Rangers have ever done?
Some people might, for completionist's sake.
Yeah, we just don't have that many fans. You need to start recruiting fans.
Yeah, well, we better have the infrastructure there to start with.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, it's just something I want to do. It's part of a file sharing idea I've got.
Okay.
I just needed something to test it with, and the Rangers data set is big enough to be decent enough. Eventually I'll put it up for public consumption.
Cool.
But the idea is that if we add new stuff to it, I just regenerate the torrent, give it to everyone, and then as long as you save the data in the exact same place as the previous one,
yeah,
it'll just pull down the new stuff.
Okay. What I was going to say is, do you know, have we got any newish people in the IRC that have been showing up regularly?
From what period?
In the last 3 or 4 months or so.
Yugasaki's been showing up.
Yep, so big ups to Yugasaki.
Yep.
And Hearst Boy?
He's been here for a while, off and on.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure what he does.
Who he has.
Yeah.
On the internet, no one knows you're a dog.
Yeah, he's one of our angels, basically.
Oh, cool.
So.
And I, you know, big ups to everybody that's actually sort of kept the faith in the last five years. Because we haven't been too productive.
No, we haven't. Really haven't. I can't imagine this rain's helping with the audio quality.
No, but, you know.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah. But at least you know we're out. I'm out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Recording media for people.
Yeah.
So, what's the time we're coming up to? 58:40. We could chop it off in an hour.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So, we're going to chop it off for an hour. We've just been burbling. There will be much more in the way of Rangers Radio now all the equipment's gettable and I can actually get to it.
Yeah.
I've actually got, you know, a system that now works for sound recording, but it's getting really, really noisy, so we're going to chop this off at an hour. So thank you very much to Kevin Izzageek and Nia Demi.
Yay.
A bit louder than that, you can actually register on the sound recording equipment.
Fucking yay.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
So yeah, thank you very much for listening, if you listened, or thank you very much for downloading and proving that actually somebody's out there listening.
Yeah, you actually care.
And,
you give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, we don't have fans that just are like, meh. We don't have people that listen to it that aren't interested.
Yeah.
So, within the next 7 days, there will be a Rangers Radio episode. I'm going to be talking to Wiff Waff on Skype tomorrow. So I'm kind of thinking about seeing if I can get the recording set up for that.
That'd be cool.
I'm not entirely sure I'm going to do that yet.
It's
going to be a scrabble around for bits
yeah.
and connectors tomorrow.
Well, I don't know. If you use Windows, you have to use Windows, there is a program, Skype Recorder.
Alright, is that built into Skype?
No, it's a separate download that actually just patches into Skype itself and just
right.
saves the audio to your disk.
So, a discussion with WiffWaff.
There's one available for Ubuntu as well.
Oh,
conveniently called Skype Call Recorder.
Oh, I think that's what I'm actually thinking of. Mm-hmm. So you just use it on Ubuntu.
Right.
You just install it and you're done.
So, we'll have, within the next couple of days, news, a few reviews, some Recomedia, and a conversation with WiffWaff for the first show of 2014.
Yay.
And we'll get them up and running. We'll start getting them out once a week. Because it's just the real faff is setting everything up. And now finally I've got somewhere where I can sit. It's reasonably comfortable. With the microphones can actually get to me. I've got access to the mixing desk and the recording machine. I can actually put in things like, you know, external sounds and stuff like that. So we tried doing it earlier on. It didn't smooth anything out. It's going to require experimentation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for listening. This has been an hour of your life you won't get back.
Sucks for you.
You can't say that on radio. Night-night, everybody.
Have fun.